turning your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm going to read on Hebrews chapter 11, starting on verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word that you left us to guide us and lead us in this life. We pray, my Father, that you give me the ability to speak thy word, to preach thy word. We pray you use it, Lord, for your honor and glory. And we pray, my Father, that you would touch all the hearts that are here, those that are saved and those that are not saved. And I pray, my Father, that you receive all the honor and all the glory, because only you are worthy, Lord. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, Hebrews 11 has been many times used, or rather named by people, that they say that this is the Christian Hall of Fame. They also use it as the heroes of the faith. But you know, when you read each one of them and look at their lives, you find that these are all normal people just like you and I. They all had failures. They all failed. They had discouragement in life. They made bad mistakes. But at the end of it all, the Bible says that they all obtained a good report. And I believe that God left us these examples here for you and I to follow, so we can see how average men and women, just like all of us, we're going to fail, but we're going to have to make some tough decisions in this life. When we go to the next chapter, chapter 12, I just want to just tell you a little bit about it, that it tells you that we're all in a race. Yeah. You're not racing against your neighbor or your brother and sister. Everybody has their own race to run, and we're just going to have to do the best we can. What he's telling us here is, don't be discouraged. Don't drop out. You need to finish the race. Do it lawfully. But what we see here also in chapter 12, the Bible is telling us, these are all witnesses. All these brothers and sisters from long ago, they are our witnesses to tell us and to teach us how the trials and troubles that they had. And what I see here is not what's being preached from the pulpits right now here in America. Every time I listen, and I've gone to many other churches, it always, you know, if you get saved, you turn over and get and become a child of God, you'll be blessed. You'll have an abundance, and God will see that you have a bigger house, three cars in the garage. But that's not what I see in real life or in the scriptures. I see chapter 11 and I see the decisions that all these people made, and it cost them their lives. They lived in caves. They had to run. They were despised, and they suffered, the Bible says, tortures, cruel mockings. They were sown asunder. They were stoned. And starting from the first witness, the one that we have here in chapter 11, the first one is Abel. Had you ever thought that it's not Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve were not here. Adam and Eve was not by faith. They saw God. They walked with God. It was not of faith. But here come their sons. And they had to do it by faith, and that's exactly what Abel did. He walked by faith. He obeyed what he had been told. He believed the report, and it cost him his life. But you see, that's a reality. That's what Jesus says. They're going to hate you. But you need to understand they hated me first. That's the life of a Christian. He doesn't tell you in here that none of them chose God because they were going to get blessings, that they were going to get a bigger house, a better job. None of those things. They chose God. They made the decisions. And of course, they all had to give up a lot of things in this life. And of course, what I'm going to speak about is Moses. Moses is probably the most famous man next to our Lord, Jesus. But you see, in Christianity, we know Moses was very important. We use him. We preach from his books. We preach about his life. But also the Jewish people, also they use him as their top-notch prophet. You look at the Muslims and they also have respect for him. And there's many other religions that consider Moses their prophet also. So he's extremely important in the scriptures. But at the same time, Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that God was going to send a prophet just like him. And when he said that, he also said, he's the one that you need to follow. He's the one that you need to trust. He's going to be just like him. Be on the lookout for that. And then here comes Peter, thousands of years later in the New Testament, and he also says the same thing. He quotes what Moses is saying in Acts chapter 3, but he put a little twist to it. And he made the comment, and he said, every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed. That makes it real important that we pay attention to what Jesus has to say. He is a prophet after Moses. But you know, as you read through these verses that I read to you, and I'm sure all of you who read the Bible all the time have read it many, many times, just like I have read it many, many times. And every time you go through here, it just sticks out to me the word refused, the word choose, and the word esteemed. And I've always had them underlined when people have brought messages on that. I've underlined them. It's always the same thing. So I'm just going to use the outline that God left us here. It's an outline of choosing, or rather refusing, choosing, and esteeming. And what I see is that this is the same thing that we all face right now. And of course, what Moses was facing, the decision he had to make was extremely important. But many times, you know, we look at this and we think, well, that was Moses. Those were in his times, thousands of years ago. This is when the King Tuts were very important in life. We don't even know those people anymore. But you know, when you read the scriptures, you find out it's the same struggles that we have. All the way from the Garden of Eden, you notice that when Eve was deceived, it was because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And you come into the New Testament, and that's what the Apostle John tells you. It is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And we see that that's what Moses was having to struggle with. But even thousands of years later when Jesus came, that's exactly what the devil did. He didn't go and tempt him with, I'll give you a bigger car, or look at the house you're going to get, or look how good you're going to sing. He took him to the mountain. Well, Jesus was already there fasting. He arrived when Jesus had just finished fasting 40 days. And the next thing you know, he says, hey, Why don't you make these stones turn to bread? That is the lust of the flesh. We all want to eat. We need to satisfy our flesh. So the devil knows it. He goes for the flesh. And the Lord had to tell him that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then he says, okay, why don't you just jump over this cliff and the angels will get a hold of you? And of course, to me, I look at it as the lust of the eye. Let's see if you really get caught. Let's see if they'll allow you to hit yourself on the rocks. And then he takes him to another mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And of course, he says, if you will bow down to me, all this will be yours. The pride of life. So you see, it's not something new.
That's right.
This is something that the devil knows very well. And so we see also that Moses, just like Jesus, they faced very similar temptations. But these temptations, they're the one and the same ones that you and I face. They all have to do with possession. They have to do with pleasure, and they have to do with power. And it doesn't really matter whether you were born poor like me. You still want possessions. When I was very poor and my grandma used to buy me 2 pence a year to go to school all year round, I still desire to have new shirts and new pants like some of the other kids. Even though I didn't have it, we always have that desire. And as far as the pleasures, well, I wanted to have the same pleasures like everybody else. When it came to the power and the pride of life, I've been so proud all my life. And as long as I can remember, even just running in the neighborhood with the kids, I wanted to be the fastest kid. When I started playing baseball, I wanted to be the best pitcher. When I got into football, I wanted to be the best football player in the world. My idol was not the high school guys. My idol was Johnny Unitas. My idol was Jim Brown. I wanted to run like him. This is the one that I looked up to. I wanted to be number one when I got into the army and I was skydiving. I wanted to be the best skydiver in the world. I went all the way to France, to Bordeaux, France, on vacation. I went all the way to the doorsteps of the best jump school in the world, where they had already told me that I would jump 45 times in 2 weeks. One of it would be nighttime, and the other one would be into the Atlantic Ocean. I would be going up to 12,500 feet. I was going to make 60-second delay jumps. I was all for it because I wanted to be number one. And I don't know about you, you know, maybe you've always wanted to be second or play the bench, but I always wanted to be number one. And you know something? Most kids are just like me. We all think the same, and we grow up and we still want to be number one in all things. And this is what I am looking here at Moses. He had to, first of all, refuse to be called Pharaoh's, or be called Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I read sermons, I read commentaries. I'm always trying to make sure that I'm on the right track of what I think or what I believe, just to confirm what I believe. And through the years, I've been saved for 28 years, I've always read that Moses was going to be the next Pharaoh. But nobody had ever proved it to me. Nobody had ever told me that's what's written. I don't see it in the scriptures. But now we have the internet. So I punched in there right away. I said, was Egypt the best or the top-notch nation during the times of Moses? And over I found it. It was the number one nation, the most powerful nation in the world during the times of Moses. And then I found out something else I had never read before. And I keep finding it over and over. It said that in the ancient history of Egypt, the bloodline to the throne was not through the sons. It was through the daughters. And I said, isn't that amazing? So when you see here, and many people will tell you, yeah, he was next in line, probably the only son, there was nobody else. But when I read that, I said, man, this is amazing. Because if that is really true, and I don't know whether that's true or not, you know, so many things in history have been twisted around and turned around and changed just so that you can have a different outlook. But if all of these sources that I looked at are correct, the thing is, and that's what I see in the scriptures, that he was going to be the next one. There was nobody else. This is huge. This is a big, big decision. And I was trying to think, well, what can we compare the decision that Moses made to anything in this life? I couldn't come up with anything. Even if I would give you the example, well, it's going to be like Bill Gates Jr. saying, I don't want to be your son, Dad. I don't care for your money no more. Or a Rockefeller to say, you know, I don't want to be a Rockefeller no more. It still doesn't compare. These people are rich. They had all the money in the world. But this is much more, more different than that. This is not only all the wealth. This is all the power. And where can you compare that? Because we don't have a world leader. We have leaders of different nations, and what you see is that people will do anything to become the leader of any nation. They'll lie, they'll steal, they'll kill, they'll do anything. They'll do that, the same thing for possessions. They'll do it to steal your money. They'll steal your identity. They'll do all they can, and this is what people do all the time, because they're seeking the things that Moses had at his disposal. So when he rejected to be called the grandson, to be called a Pharaoh, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, this is really big. Amen. And of course, Moses rejected the most powerful position in the world. There is nothing to compare to that. But you know, all these three possessions was all wrapped up in royalty. If he would just accept it, if he would just take the role and continue and keep his mouth shut, and I think most of us would have kept our mouth shut. We would have said, well, you know what, I can always use the money and I can give it away like the Rockefellers, and I'll give it to the choice areas, and I'll give it to my pet projects and help all my friends and relatives. Look what I can do. That's how we would think. But Moses thought a little different. And that's why this is so important. But you know, the one thing I see here, just in a nutshell, there's choices in this life. And this is exactly what Moses had to do. He had to make a choice. What I see is all these people in chapter 11, they all had choices to make. And Moses, even though it was very hard, is just like our missionaries. They make decisions, and when they decide to become missionaries in this church, they're not saying, I'm going because I'm going to get a bigger house. When you choose something, you automatically reject something else.
Right.
It's just automatic. When you choose to be a missionary, you wind up rejecting retirements, pensions, health plans. You're rejecting the not having to be, you're going to be moving every 2 or 3 years, where if you stay here, you will be able to cultivate your land and work around your house and rebuild it and do all kinds of things. Missionaries cannot do that. So when they reject the things of this world, or they wind up having to accept a lot of other things, and that's exactly what's happening to Moses. He had to make a decision, and we all have to make a decision. We all have choices in this life all the time. And just like he had to choose, we also have to choose in this life. Moses is also called God's chosen. But the Bible says in here, when he became of age, Moses had to choose. And that's what I see in all these heroes of the of chapter 11. All these people had to make choices. They had to choose. And salvation is just the same. You're going to have to make a decision. It's not going to be a decision where now everything is going to be rosy. Everything is going to be fine. Because it might not be. And for many people in history, it hasn't been. Even for us today, many times, you go out and you preach with some of these brothers that preach, you will find that there's a lot of reproach. People are going to hate you. They're going to call you names. Our brothers and sisters that are in Mexico, those that are preaching, giving out tracts, they get called all kinds of names. The brothers that preach around here, they get called all kinds of names. There's always a reproach, but you know, salvation is the same. You have to make a choice. And the Bible is very clear on that. I'm going to give you two verses. But you find that, and I'll just read it to you. You can always write it down. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's right. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, what comes out of your mouth, like Paul says, that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, in the verse that I just gave you, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You need to confess. You need to make a decision. You need to, and when you make that decision for Christ, you're going to be rejecting a lot of other things. It just comes natural. It also tells you in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4, that a living dog is better than a dead lion. To me, when I first read that verse a long time ago, it was so plain, so clear. It is better to be a live dog than a dead lion. The lion's considered the king. He's the king of the jungle. He's the bravest, the toughest, the strongest. And yet, I'd rather be alive, be a dog, than to be a dead lion. Amen. What he tells you in that same verse, he says that as long as you're alive, there is hope.
Yes.
So, that's all he's telling you. As long as you're alive, you can make a choice. You can choose Christ. Just like Moses had to make his choice and all the other ones had to make a choice. Just like Abel had to make a choice. And every single one, you can also do the same thing. But you see, what we have here is many times we have also... like, for example, Cain and Abel, brothers, raised by the same mom and dad. And yet, one went one way and one the other. One believed and the other one rejected. One went to heaven, the other one went to hell. And that is so amazing. What it teaches us is that just because your brother or your sister or your mom and dad are serving the Lord, that doesn't mean that you're going to also go to heaven. You have to make your own decision. That's what the Bible teaches us. We see also Jacob and Esau. These guys were not just brothers. They were twins. Came from the same womb at the same time. And yet, God later on, he says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Hundreds of years later. Nevertheless, what it teaches us is that one rejected the things of God, the other one accepted the things of God. One got saved, one was lost. And both blood brothers, twin brothers, rather. But this is what I see here. This is a chapter of people who made decisions. And we see it here in this world. You know, I'm sure people that have brothers, and one is serving the Lord and the other one is serving the world. We have others that the spouse are also divided. One of them is saved and the other one is not. Jesus said that when he comes and he calls us in the rapture, one will stay in the bed and the other one will be going up. So we see this all over the place. But you know the way this world thinks, my friend? They think that the one who gets the most toys when it comes time to die is the winner. The one with the most toys wins. I heard that a long time ago and I thought that was cute. But actually, it's very wrong. Yeah. Actually, what it teaches me here, it's what we give up that makes us rich. And this is what we have here, people that gave a lot of things up. Now, this doesn't mean sell your house, sell the extra 2 or 3 cars that you have, and give it to somebody else. No, you can enjoy the things that you've accumulated. God wants you to be well off. He wants you to enjoy the things of this life. That's what I read in the scriptures the other day. That's why I'm going to enjoy my retirement. He says, enjoy what you got. So that's what I'm going to do. But the thing is the choices that we have to make. And God is very interested in you making a decision. I've got 2 questions for you. And I'm taking them from Scripture. One of them is in 1 Kings 18:21, and one of the prophets is saying, how long haul ye between 2 opinions? If God is God, follow him. Amen. So I just want to ask you, is Jesus Christ God? If he is, then follow him. Amen. Don't stand on the border fence. Don't stand on top of on the middle of the road. Follow, if God is God, follow him. Amen. There's no time to be being lukewarm. God hates that. You need to be either hot or cold. Either lead the way or get out of the way. Amen. I had J.W. come into my house Saturday. I saw them when they parked their vehicle, so right away I got my Bible. I put it right there by the door. And I got into it. And, of course, there's a lot of things that were exchanged, but I got to the point where I started mocking people. Especially when they don't want to accept Jesus as God. And that's mostly what I deal with. I don't deal with, if there's a hell or about salvation by grace, because that really doesn't matter. If they don't accept that Jesus is God, that's it. Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. And when I began to give her some verses and they began to ask me some questions, and I would go into my Bible and I would show them, I was I started getting sarcastic and excuse me, and using language like duh, this is God and here's God over here and duh, you know, and it shouldn't be that way, but they're at my house. And I can get sarcastic, and finally she began to try to do the same thing to me, and then she wanted to close the door on me, and I put my hand down. You're not closing my door, lady. This is my door. And but the thing is that how long hold ye between 2 opinions? You see, I believe Jesus Christ is God, and I'm going to follow him. And that's what the Bible tells me. But what is really important in your life? Amen. You know, for so many people, drinking is very important. Smoking, pleasure of all kinds, sex. There's all kinds of pleasure, partying. But what the Bible tells me that it's pleasurable. All sin is pleasurable. If it wasn't, you wouldn't do it. And that's why, and the Bible even tells you it's pleasurable, but it's only for a season. It's going to go away pretty soon. I used to, you know, when I was growing up, I was very poor, but once I got older and I had some money and some of the kids had left and I began to have more money, I wind up buying me a horse. Because I always wanted to be a cowboy. You see, Roy Rogers was one of my idols. I wanted to be like the Lone Ranger. So I had to buy me a horse, and I made my own saddle, and I had a hat and the boots. But then the horse that I bought, I thought it was a good-looking horse, and I always kept selling them and buying another one because I was getting a better one. And then I'd sell it and get another one, and this was really good. This one has the sires or world champions. Maybe this one will be a world champion. But after seven horses, and I still kept getting thrown off, they had no respect for me. And after spending so much money, and I would go and ride them in the back of my yard, and then I would say, and who's watching me? I mean, nobody to even wave at and say, hey, you know, hi, old silver. None of that. I finally had to say, this is nothing but pride. Then I started thinking, well, that's why people go on trail rides. So that they all can admire each other's horse and say, hey, hi, neighbor. But the thing is that everything wears out. It don't matter if I got into guns. I don't know how many guns I bought. It's because I always thought, okay, I need to get me another one. There's never any satisfaction. It don't matter what you do. If you buy a house, you're going to try and get a bigger one. If you buy a car, you know, I'm already thinking, hey, look at that car. But it's all only for a season.
Yeah, that's right.
Later on, it's not going to be worth anything else. I grew up trying to be Elvis, like everybody else. Because I saw Elvis and I said, man, this guy is the most handsome guy in the world. I want to sing like him. And you would see in school all the guys, they were all combing their hair real big like him. Everybody wanted to be like Elvis. But when he died at 42, I said, no, I don't want to be like him. You see, everything ends. Pleasure will end, my friend. Even though, you know, he had everything, all he had to do was shake his leg and all the girls wanted to go and get him. I wanted to do the same thing and have all the girls come to me, but the thing is that it's only for a little while. The guy died a terrible death.
Yes, that's right.
At the age of 42. I'm already 64 years old, so I don't want to be like him. You see, but I'm looking back now, and what I see is that Moses was able to take the long look.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you and I have to do.
Right.
We have to realize the pleasures of this life, my friend, they're only short-lived.
That's right.
And we can go and give hundreds of examples of the things that you have bought, and after a while, they wear out, and you don't care no more. Look at the iPhones. I thought, man, I'm doing good. I got a 3, and now it's the 4, and I'm waiting for the 8th. But the thing is that everybody gets in line and they already had one. You know, I know some that had the 3 and now they pass it on to their kids and they get the next one. You're never satisfied. And it's just the trick of the devil. You see, you want pleasure. You want, it's still the same thing. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is what we all struggle. It's not something new. What Moses was facing, what he had to decide, is the same things that you and I face. But the examples that he gave us, and God is always this way, he always goes to a tremendous extreme so that you don't have an excuse. When he talked about the sinners, he went to the prostitutes and says, they enter first. They're bad. And then when he went to the religious, he went to the most religious, Nicodemus. If people complain the church is too far away, here's the Queen of the South.
Yeah.
She came from a long, long ways. You can't say, well, you know, I just can't go across town. This lady came from a long, long way. And of course, if you want to say, well, the pleasures of this life, look at Moses. He didn't just reject a little pleasure. This guy was going to be mummified later on with all the kings. He was going to be known throughout history. But the thing is, it just goes to show you that that you have to make some choices in this life. And he esteemed the reproach. Greater riches. And who would want to be reproached? What kind of man would want to choose, I would rather be famous. I would rather be adored and liked. But to choose a reproach, to choose to be hated, who would make such a decision? But that's what Christians have to choose. Am I going to be pleasing the world, or am I going to be pleasing God? Amen. If you got that, if you're short-sighted, you're going to be just looking at right now the things of this world. But if you look, if you take the long look and look past everything else, look through history, and this is, you want to obtain a good report just like all of this. Now, Moses, my friend, was not just some ordinary kid who didn't know anything. The Bible says that he was educated. He was learned in all the knowledge of the Egyptians. This guy was mighty in words and deeds. He was doing all kinds of things. He was being groomed. He was going to be the next Pharaoh. He was going to be in charge of the world. And he gave it all up, so he didn't do it being an ignorant person, a young kid who didn't know any better. He knew everything, but he understood. Just like Jesus, when he came and said, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. But this is what the world does. We think that the one with the most toys wins. We think that the one who has the biggest house, the one who has the biggest bank account, this is the one that that wins. He's the one that's more popular. But it's not so. But then here comes Jesus, and Moses doesn't compare to him. Even though he was a great man, and we cannot compare anybody to his decision, here comes Jesus. Jesus was not waiting to be a king. He was already king. Yes. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He wasn't waiting for a kingdom. He already had a kingdom. That's right. He chose reproach. He took on humanity. He came and he chose pain over pleasure. He chose it because he loved you so much. Moses was only thinking of himself. Jesus Christ was thinking of all of us. Amen. So we need to remember that he was above and beyond anything. And the sacrifice that he made was the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. He gave his life. He went to Calvary. And he paid for all our sins. And that's what we have to look at now. If you're not saved, you need to make a decision, and you need to really make it now. Don't wait till you go outside or maybe tonight. What I see in the scriptures, everybody that was called to come to Jesus, they were all called publicly. They were all told, come and follow me. So that's why we make an invitation. Why don't you make a decision today and follow the Lord?
Amen.
Come to the front. I'm about to open up the altar where you can come to the front. You want to get saved? Get on your knees and ask the Lord to save your soul. Make it publicly. Tell people, I just accepted Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. I'm not ashamed of Him.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. Don't be ashamed of Christ. He doesn't have secret disciples. If you're ashamed of Him, He says, I will also be ashamed of you when I come back. You don't want that. I want him to look at me. I want to be able to see him face to face. I don't want to come before him and he said, let me turn around. I can't stand to see you. I don't want that. I want to make it publicly. I want people to know I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And this is what you also need to do. He made a choice for you. He loved you so much, He came in and He left it all on the cross. He died, but He didn't stay dead. He resurrected. And now He will give you life if you would just make that choice. I don't think it's a hard choice for you, because Jesus already did it all. All you have to do is get rid of your shame and say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm your child. Save my soul. Give me eternal life. And He will do it. That's what we see in the scriptures over and over. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you eternal rest. So we're going to stand up, and we're going to sing 249.